From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Travis Fain, WRAL's State House reporter.
Sorry we didn't come to you last night. I had a little family emergency I had to attend to. But today was the day with a lot of action, I would say, definitely, of the two. Well, you've been covering this energy bill, which has been... It was just rolled out, gosh, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then it reappeared, and all of a sudden it's like, boom, it's on the floor right now.
It went quiet, running silent, and then, yeah, launched them torpedoes. I don't know why today necessarily. I talked to House Majority Leader John Bell. He said that they, you know, sometimes there are attendance issues.
Yep.
And when you got your people here that are going to vote for it, I think this is going to be a close vote. The House, it's a little after 6 p.m. right now. The House is going back into session.
Just started talking about it.
Having just moved it through rules after a caucus delay and just one thing after another, clearly wanting to move this bill forward. The Speaker of the House is tweeting about the bill today, about how great it was and how not great not voting for it today would be. And, yeah.
But in the meantime, the governor today was tweeting, was emailing about how not great the bill is.
Yeah, and I mean, just kind of to give you the basics on the bill, I mean, it lays out regulatory changes for Duke Energy primarily, but also mm-hmm. other utilities that are regulated here in North Carolina. And it gives the, you know, Duke Energy a lot of what it wants, albeit changing a fairly archaic regulatory structure that we have. I think something like 30 states have moved to something more like what we see here. The bill would also close coal-fired electricity plants earlier, but with some reliance on natural gas. The Marshall plant would definitely be natural gas. Roxborough, would it definitely be natural gas? It depends on like what happens with the MVP Southgate pipeline, but the way the bill is written, probably natural gas. I mean, Roxborough, I think that's the number two in size.
But there's also
plant in the country. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
But there's also additional nuclear in that bill.
There's additional nuclear. It would have Duke Energy re-up all of the licenses for current nuclear facilities and try to get a new one going. And there's $50 million where it says basically, if you need $50 million to start that process, you can charge your customers that $50 million. I mean, this all obviously has to do with money and carbon. There's a lot of solar in the bill as well, but not as much as your environmentalist types would want. And the bill was done over months. You know, we've said in secret many times people have pushed back against that, but their argument has basically been, well, we always do bills in secret.
That's no help. That's no help.
Yeah, and just, some stakeholders do not feel like they've gotten the input here. And, I mean, I think you're seeing it, right? They're trying to kind of ram it through. I promise you, whatever you want, a whole bunch of people don't know what this bill does on the House floor because
I would say the majority.
Yeah. It's extremely complicated, and always ask yourself, when things are extremely complicated, who benefits?
The people who wrote it.
It usually helps, works that way, right?
Yeah, it does. And also, when things are extremely complicated, that's exactly when you should not fast-track them. But yet, here we are. Anyway, that bill still has to go over to the Senate, which I'm sure will take quite a few whacks at some parts of it. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long way to go yet, but it's certainly they're trying to get it off the deck over here in the House. In the meantime, today we're hearing that there's not likely to be a budget bill rolled out until the first or second week of August.
Yeah, I was sitting with Gary Robertson from the Associated Press, and Nelson Dollar from the Speaker's office gave that basic timetable, and that was just an hour ago. So I think that's your latest and greatest information right there.
Yeah, exactly. It just takes time, is what I've been told by one of the chairs. It takes time to get through it all. They want to get it moving as quickly as possible, but... Anyway, in the meantime, the Senate today, having dealt with its budget, is now taking up all kinds of other stuff that they're interested in, one of those things being critical race theory. So you might remember that the House passed a bill, it was during crossover, that would ban, it didn't really ban critical race theory so much as it just sort of laid out some premises of respect and non-discrimination. Well, the Senate version is a lot more clearly aimed at critical race theory. It's got about 13, what they're calling, tenets of the ideology that they say are going to be, schools cannot promote, schools or teachers or anybody cannot promote. And that would also require schools to put all their teaching and teacher training materials online. So that this has to do with the fact that Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools had Ibram Kendi, who is an anti-racist, come in and do a presentation. And he is a proponent of critical race theory, at least to some extent. So Basically, we kept asking for examples of this, and the lawmakers who were backing this, including Senate Leader Phil Berger and Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, could not offer a solid example of a thing that has happened that this bill would address, which makes you wonder a lot about, you know, I mean, as Jay Chaudhry put it today in committee, the Senate Education Committee, you know, we do have the First Amendment, and that does protect students from being compelled by the state to affirm positions that they don't agree with.
Yeah, this seems to kind of break down to, man, people get big scared of words and ideas, don't mm-hmm. they? And I don't really understand why. I don't, you know,
I do. There's been a drumbeat of this on Fox News for absolutely months.
Sure, and I'm sure Republican lawmakers are hearing it from their constituents.
Sure.
Do something about this. You know, I'm more interested in this idea that we might have a constitutional amendment as well as part of this.
That was kind of dropped as an aside, as one does with a constitutional amendment. Today at the press conference where they talked about the CRT bill, Senate Leader Phil Berger saying they want to have a constitutional amendment separately from this bill that would emphasize the state's adherence to the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Not that we really have a choice about that because it's federal law. But there's one thing that's in the amendment that is not in the Civil Rights Act, and that is it would basically ban affirmative action. So no preference could be given to a group or discrimination because of a list of things that include the normal suspects, do not include veterans, pregnancy, or LGBTQ, or gender.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what that language looks like as it moves forward, assuming it does move forward. I don't really know how much affirmative action hiring is going on right now. With government, because, I mean, it is limited, I believe,
sure.
Limited to public. But, you know, we do contracts where we give mm-hmm. you a little kind of a bonus, a little plus up in the bidding process if you're
sure.
minority owned.
Yeah, they're called historically underutilized businesses, and we use them. And that has mm-hmm. to do with gender and somebody's sex, and it also has to do with somebody's national origin or their race. So, yeah, there are, we don't call them, as you said, we don't call them affirmative action anymore. But there are programs underway that seek to, increase equity, I guess, in the state's spending, especially contracting. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is basically that they would want that on the ballot next spring in the 2022 primaries. Not sure why spring instead of fall, but, you know. And then, who knows? Maybe they just don't want it to tweak the outcome of it. But then it said on this bill, the CRT bill, they are expecting to vote on it before they adjourn this year, so they don't have a hard and fast date.
Yeah, Senator Berger, I did not listen to the full press conference. One thing I did hear him say is it won't be in the next 7 to 10 days
right.
that this comes out of committee. And one of the reasons is they want the Lieutenant Governor's Committee on School Indoctrination. I can't remember what it's called. But that's
it's called FACTS, FACTS.
It's where parents can reach out and say, hey, I didn't like this thing that mm-hmm. my kid learned. I feel like it's indoctrination. And apparently the report is going to come out from Lieutenant Governor's Committee on that next week.
Next week sometime, yeah.
So hopefully we'll get some details. You know, there have been kind of anecdotal, this happened, that happened. You'll see. It's very common.
Yeah, well, our parents have examples. Parents have examples, so, mm-hmm. okay.
So we'll see some of those examples. I don't know what format
yeah.
that's going to be in. We can talk body cameras for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we've been following the different sort of attempts at police reform, criminal justice reform bills. And so the House had one version. Well, they've got, you know, a couple of bills, actually.
Yeah, several.
The Senate rolled everything pretty much into one omnibus, and that's Senate Bill 300. And so that was Danny Britt's bill. And that included some language that would change body camera law, and it would also change the riot law, but it would change it in a way that the civil rights folks or civil liberties folks were a lot happier with than the House version of it.
Yeah, on the riot law, apparently riot is not well defined as far as what you can get arrested for if you're at a protest and things go a little off the rails there. And so this would kind of clear that up, and it would also strengthen the penalties if you're rioting and you break
damage,
something, you do
right.
some damage. The Speaker of the House has a separate bill that is less about redefining rioting and more about increasing the penalties.
Right.
And so my assumption is that the House is favoring that language and thus has pulled the rioting language out of Senate Bill 300.
And perhaps we'll see that reappear.
We'll have to see where it goes, because I mean, Senate Bill 300 was consensus language.
Right.
I mean, when you're increasing penalties on rioting and you've still got groups like the ACLU saying, well, we don't like the increased penalties, but we do overall support this, you know, you've really kind of bridged the gap there. That is gone if you insist on the speaker's language. Perhaps more importantly, though, I think it's the body camera link, because, mm-hmm. I mean, this Senate Bill 300 has got a bunch of stuff in it. The body camera stuff was a late addition before it passed the Senate. And what it said was, all right, so right now, current law, if you want a body camera footage from something, you have to petition a court to get it. That can obviously take time. This was going to basically flip it on its head for families only. Like, so if the police shot your son or your brother or something, you, instead of having to petition the court to see the body camera footage, the police would have to give it to you unless the police petition the court to block it. Right, that's what the language looked like in the SB 300 when it cleared the Senate,
right,
moved over to the
and
House.
And that's the kind of language that Governor Cooper had also said that he approved of as well, at least flipping the presumption that it would not be released versus would.
And it had support from law enforcement. The bill left the Senate unanimously. This morning in House Judiciary 2, it just got gone because last night, apparently law enforcement had some second thoughts about the language, and there was some back and forth on this that I'm not going to get into in committee today, but the language got rewritten. And it basically required families to go into court. They wouldn't file the paperwork. The cops would file the paperwork. But the family still had to be in court to get it released. It sounded like a whole rigmarole. And basically the Judiciary 2 committee members were like, you know what? We don't like this language. We're not pushing the bill forward without it. Excuse me, with it. But we also don't have the votes to change it. Let's just take it all the way out. So there is no body camera change in Senate Bill 300 at the moment, and I think that's the key.
Yeah,
I think this is not the last we're going to talk about this. Senator Britt's been working this bill hard. I'm sure he'll continue to do so. I'd look for that language to come back in or something like it. But I mean, we're going to talk. You know, it's not going to be so simple as just consensus bill moves easily through House.
Right. We're also being told that the Senate was planning this week to do something with the Free the Masks or Free the Smiles bill. That's the bill that would basically ban the state from requiring masks in schools. Now, obviously, with the steep rise we've seen over the last couple of days in the Delta variant, it'll be interesting to see if they move that. You know, especially in a lot of these communities where we're seeing these big increases, the clusters are located in schools. That's where it's happening, is teenagers that are not vaccinated. And so it's going to be hard to make the argument that, you know, that there should not be masks in schools, you know, if that continues to be the case. But that doesn't mean they won't make it, right?
Yeah, we'll see where they go with that bill. Real quickly, we also want to mention the UNC. The saga continues. The Board of Trustees.
Today it hit a new height, because today we had two meetings going on at the same time with completely different things being said about the same topic at each meeting.
Yeah.
We had a faculty council meeting, right, where they said, Guskowitz is going to be replaced. And then we had a Board of Trustees meeting where they said, no, we're not going to replace Guskowitz.
Yeah, I don't know. Call us if you're going to be the next chancellor at UNC, or if there are no plans to fire Kevin Guskowitz from UNC. It's really hard to sort that out. There have been a lot of rumors for a few days that fallout from the Nicole Hannah Jones thing. And, of course, you know, Senator Berger, no fan of Guskowitz's, has said so publicly. And, of course, he helps appoint the Board of Governors, which hires the president, who decides whether or not to hire and fire chancellors. So, I mean, when a top Senate leader like that comes out and criticizes you publicly, it's pretty clear that that's a message. What we do with that message going forward, I don't know.
And Senator Berger was questioned today about his involvement in that. And his answer was, didn't really answer that question. Just said he's not in charge.
Yeah, I don't have any, I don't have authority there, except you appoint the people
who do,
and you, in a major newspaper article, said, boy, that guy's not getting it done. Maybe the people who were his bosses, I don't know, maybe they want to look into it, maybe not.
Yes. Anyway, I think that's about it for today. You got anything else?
That's it.
All right, so we're still not clear about exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, but it is going to be the final day of the legislative week, so I suppose we can expect shenanigans. Shenanigans Thursday is a real thing around here.
And it wouldn't surprise me if, I assume they had the votes to pass 951, the energy bill, through the House, but on second reading, someone might object, so we might be talking about third reading tomorrow. That would not surprise me in the least. So I'm sure we'll be talking the energy bill tomorrow, too.
We'll see you then. Thank you.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.